Life has its ups and downs, and like many of us, I face moments with depression. Music has always helped me find my way through, and I believe it can do the same thing for you. I'm James Cox, and this is the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, a podcast about the healing power of music. Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we talk about how music helps and heals with depression and anxiety. I'm your professional handicapped host, James Cox. And my guest is Kyle Thomas, vocalist of the legendary New Orleans thrash metal band, Exhorter, which is one of my all-time favorite bands. From way back when, you know, back in the 90s, you know, you remember that, you know, 90s era, you know. I'm a 90s guy. I was born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s, so this band means a lot, you know. So Exhorter never chased trends. They confronted them. Kyle's voice was aggressive, honest, and human, helping shape and sound that still resonates in metal today. This is a conversation about intensity, endurance, and what it means to make heavy music with purpose. Kyle, welcome to the show, brother. How are you doing?
I appreciate it, James. Thank you. I appreciate you having us.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So, Exhorter has been around since, you've been around since 1990, right? Which is
well, great. Actually, we started, the band started getting put together in 1985, and okay. I joined in the spring of 1986 as the final original member. Yeah, so okay. we're an 80s band, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As I'm looking at your, you have four albums, which is all great. You know, I've been listening to them all day. I do love Mourn the Southern Skies. I think that's great, you know.
Okay.
I haven't heard a lot of your new stuff, which I plan to dive in really deep, you know, after we hang up. But before we start talking about your music, I just want to do like a lightning round. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. So, okay. So, a lyric that you still stand behind without hesitation, you know,
one
that you wrote.
Lordy. Yeah. It's tough to single out one, but, I think the Slaughter in the Vatican, the yes. song was very, you know, it wasn't just an attack on Catholicism. And trust me, I went to Catholic school. I'm currently a recovering Catholic, but I was raised practicing, went to Catholic schooling. So all of that was really written from experience and a very honest reaction to what I was indoctrinated into, but it's metaphoric. It's kind of a representation of all organized religion that is being exploited and misrepresented for selfish gains. So, a lot of the stuff that I said back then also was very angry.
Yeah.
And not supposed to be taken too terribly seriously. Yeah. So being that I was a teenager and in my early 20s when most of that was written, I do have a much different perspective on it. But especially the last two albums, I think the lyrical content is a lot more linear and honest with how I feel about things today, for sure.
That's an awesome answer. All right. So number two. A band you respect that fans might not expect you to like.
Oh, wow. Depeche Mode.
There you go. I guess that would be your guilty pleasures, you know, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. So I locally here in New Orleans, I sing for a new wave tribute band, and we do a lot of new wave and synth pop. Mostly 80s stuff that we do, but I grew up on MTV. So a lot of that stuff, Duran Duran's another one, you know, like I thought I was supposed to hate Duran Duran two yeah. or 3 years after I started liking them.
Right.
Cause yeah. as an MTV kid, I liked it. And then as a heavy metal fan, I learned I'm not supposed to like that. And
Right.
years later, as an adult who understands that it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, that
Right.
I can like these things. What an amazing band. How about the bass player, for the love of God? That dude can play. And they just wrote great songs. So I think it's okay to step out of your normal wheelhouse and comfort zone. And I think maybe more people, especially as they get older, should be less afraid of that.
Well, I think that's what that's normal teenager stuff, because back then, well, I liked the Backstreet Boys, but then again, I couldn't tell everybody because it's the Backstreet Boys, you know? So I so
Yeah,
and so
sure.
that so now I love them, and it's okay to love them now, you know? Because
Sure.
I like what I like, you know. There's no
Good
big
pop
reason.
songs, man. There's nothing wrong with good pop songs. There's a
No.
ton of them out there that I love that people probably think that I'm crazy for loving.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so one thing modern metal artists overthink. Is it like production or, you know?
I think what people think of them.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of people that maybe take themselves a little too seriously instead of having fun with it. We've always been a band. It's like a third rate amateur comedy show when we play.
Okay.
We're always joking around, always being silly, always having fun. But when we step into the music, it's serious. So we let the music be the serious part, and the rest of it should just be a good time. I don't care if people see me dressed in a unicorn costume or something. Like, who cares what people think? But there's a lot of musicians out there that would feel like their image would be tarnished if people saw them in that light. And I don't know. For me, that's not why I do this.
Well, I'm going to agree with you. Music should be fun, you know. Of course, the subjects that the album has should be a serious, you know, to you, but playing live and just exploring other ventures, yeah, it should be so fun, you know. And I think that,
Sure.
some artists take that way too seriously. You're right. Okay, so a mistake that ultimately helped Exhorter survive, or has there been?
There's been tons of mistakes,
Oh, okay, tons and tons,
without a
yeah.
doubt. I think maybe even, God, how can I say this without saying the wrong thing?
Yeah.
Probably trying to outdo ourselves is
Okay.
something that, at the end of the day, being a very complex riff-oriented band with a lot of parts, drew a lot of attention to us. I think that people paid attention to us in the very beginning because it was we had a lot of complicated songs, difficult to play songs, and that drew a lot of people to us. But at the end of the day, we learned a lot from that, which one of the biggest takeaways I have is it doesn't matter if the song isn't great. If the song isn't great, then it's just a bunch of musical masturbation. So, writing good quality music that connects with people is more important to me than showing off and being flashy. And I think our longevity today hinges greatly on that lesson that we learned, because our two most recent albums are definitely more streamlined in the songwriting department. We may have lost some of the early fans for that very reason, but it doesn't matter to me. Then go listen to the early albums if that's the Exhorter that you prefer. I'm not offended by it. I understand, as a music fan, I have my preferences of eras of band that I love too. But we've got work to do. We've got a lot to say still, and I think that evolving into something that's more pleasing to me and my counterparts that I work with is step one to making it fun enough to keep going out there and playing for people. We still play the old songs out there for the old fans.
Right.
And there's a lot of new younger kids that love both eras of the band. Some of them, in fact, learned us from the newer albums, and then they're being exposed to the old stuff like it's new music. So
yeah.
There's something in there for everybody, and we try to do that at our shows. We try to make it fun for any Exhorter fan.
Yeah, fans are a very, very weird band. It's either all about them or not about them at all. And they will turn back your back on them, turn their back on you any minute they can, you know.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. Fan being a word that's derivative of the word fanatic.
Exactly. All right. So here's the last question in our lightning round. We talked about how you're you just said your lyrics are aggressive in the past album played. So can you detail us the difference between aggression and honesty, within your lyrics?
So in the beginning we talked a lot about violence. We kind of glorified violence in a not so good way, but it was more for me. I can say this for me. I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, it was, I always likened it to a horror movie and I called it horror music. So we were talking about things in like not much different from a horror movie, but it's just in song format. So it doesn't mean we're encouraging people to do these things. It doesn't mean that we want people to think that we're doing them ourselves necessarily, or at least not me. But yeah, today we still talk about a lot of those harder subjects, but I try to do it from a much different point of view instead of glorifying it, just almost making it more of like a thought-provoking moment.
I think Cannibal Corpse suffered the same kind of thing too with, because zombies and killing and all the, because I think Alex says that I think the air fans certainly don't want to, what they don't want to do anything that we're talking about, because it's all zombies and yeah, so I agree with you on the lyrical aspect of it. Yeah. So go, but going off of that question, how do you approach vocals as a emotional release? Like, is it like a narrative tool or like a weapon of sorts? And how does that mindset change over from 90s to 2024 with your recent album?
Lyrics are absolutely cathartic for me. They don't always mean something. Sometimes it's just words that sound cool and rhyme. You know, that's cool too. You know, there's a lot of bands out there that don't have a message per se. And I'm not looking to change the world. I don't want that responsibility. I do like coming up with thought-provoking content for sure. But at the same time, I grew up liking Van Halen, and they were all singing about a good time, and Black Sabbath, depressing dark lyrics, Van Halen, fun party lyrics. It's okay. I'm not as good writing that fun party lyric kind of thing. It's never been my thing, so I'll stick to what works for me, which is darkness and despair. But yeah, like when you're younger, you sing about the things that hurt you on the inside, and for me, it's very different today, but it's the approach is similar. The content's just a little bit different, but I do wear my heart on my sleeve a lot. When I'm in a lot of pain in life, it comes out in my lyrics. When I'm frustrated and aggravated and angry, it does reveal itself. I always say, I have my worst bouts of writer's block when I'm happy. Like, the happier I am, the harder it is for me to write heavy metal lyrics.
Exactly. Because I think you need to be in a mindset of metal. Because when you automatically think of metal, you think of angry and against the world, against the government. It's all kind of weird. But yeah, you're
Yeah, I
right.
mean,
Mindset is everything.
the world has successfully maintained the status of being a shit show for many years now. So there's a lot of stuff to write about out there right now in the
Oh
news.
yeah, tons of stuff, willingly, So, I wanted to talk about the first concert you had with Pat O'Brien. For anybody who doesn't know Pat O'Brien, you should, because he is a great lead guitarist for all bands, But he came from Cannibal Corpse, and so I just read on Wikipedia, and I want to get your correct thing. Let's see if this is right, So, when you got him in the band, he was kind of reluctant to show his face at the first concert, because he wasn't sure if the fans would remember him, still like him, But according to Wikipedia, everybody loved him, So did you kind of inspire him to go out and just take it full force, or did he actually do that on his own, Because I know Pat is very shy, extremely shy guy. So I just wanted to know if, you brought something out of him to make him feel better,
I can tell you this much. The way he was portrayed by the media, at the end of his Cannibal Corpse run, when he was going through a lot of really difficult personal things, they portrayed him to be something that he is absolutely not. He is a very kind, gentle man, and it's a good thing because he's large.
Oh yeah, he's
But
huge. Yeah.
he's a very big man. But he, I don't think he would ever hurt a fly unless the fly really asked for it. So, and he's humble, and that's for somebody of his skill set and level of fame, because he's more famous than Exhorter, even. He really is. But he is very humble, not a diva, really the most easy person to live with on the road, I think. But at that time, I think his spirits were nearly completely crushed with all that he had been through. And so we really needed that second guitar player after I decided that I was going to start playing. I do play some lead, but I'm not that kind of lead player. I'm
Oh
just
my God,
not,
he's
and
too.
I'm
He's
okay with it.
yeah.
So, he at first he was like, "Y'all don't want to play with me," and we're like, "Well, actually, we
Yeah,
kind
we
of do.
do.
So, yeah, won't you come jam with us?" And he did, and it was good for his soul. So he kept coming back and committed to playing shows with us. And when we played that first show at Maryland Death Fest in 2022, we didn't reveal who our guitar player was until he got on the stage.
Oh
And
wow, okay.
it was a big deal. We
So
kept it a
everybody, oh
secret.
my God. All
Yeah.
right,
And really, people didn't even know that I was playing.
Oh,
So
you okay.
the big mystery was who the hell was playing for Exhorter. And it turns out it was me and Pat. So it took a lot of the pressure off of me, because it allowed me to debut without, too much scrutiny. And at that point, he hasn't played a show at that point in probably 4 years. So, and it was a big turnout, as festival crowd. But I think he was being worried that people were going to give him a welcome response. He kind of shied away, stayed in the green room, played the show. His plan was, "I'm just going to play the show, keep my nose down, and get the hell out of here." And when I got off the stage and went to go talk to people, that people were like, "Where's Pat? Where's Pat?" So a few minutes later, I stuck my head in the green room and was like, "Dude, they
Dude, they
want to say
want you,
hi."
dude. Come on, let's go.
So he went over and he started talking, and you could see, like, back then he walked over with his head down a lot, and it just helped him hold his head high again. And now, I think after 20 years in Cannibal Corpse, and Cannibal Corpse being one of the bigger bands, I think he was able to not have to deal with the public too much. He doesn't really do interviews. He's not really, one to, he wasn't really one to really go mingle too much. And now he does. When we go to play, even if it's a small 200 cap room, he'll go out and talk and walk through the crowd and talk to anybody who wants to
Oh,
talk to him.
nice.
He loves it. He's really embraced doing it at this level again, because it's been 2.5 decades since he's been at this level.
That makes me so happy, that he just found,
Yeah.
his
Yeah.
life back,
He's found, he's found a lot of peace in the last few years.
which is great,
And I'm glad that his participating in this band has helped be a catalyst for that.
And he's on your recent album, Deflectum Optimum, correct? He's on the whole thing.
Defectum Omnium. He
Omnium.
yes, correct. He did not write any of the songs or play rhythm tracks. He only did solos. But he
But he was
played
on the
like
record, right?
but all but he played all the best solos.
There you go. Yes, sir.
But
So.
he's actually excited, because we're in the writing process for a new album right now, and he's excited about contributing. He's
Oh, good.
definitely wants to contribute, and we want him to contribute. Why would we have Pat in this band and ask him not to contribute?
Because according to Cannibal, he writes the he wrote the, like the hardest song ever played. And I forgot what the song
Yeah,
is called. So,
I believe it. I believe it. So
So,
I have asked him to have some mercy on me.
oh yeah, but I'm not sure if he's gonna take it right. He might not. Because the harder the song is, the better it is for fans.
Oh,
Apparently. But
he's one of a kind.
All right. So we do have two more questions, and I do thank you so much for coming on. This is exciting for me. All right. So let's go all the way back to your teens. Okay. I know that you know that might be it's a long time for me because I'm 46. You know, but okay. So we're in Kyle's old room. Okay. We're looking at your walls. Is there any music posters? And if so, who are they?
Oh, I had a million of them. What I used to do is I used to buy Hit Parader magazine, Cream magazine, yes. Circus, all that, yeah, and cut out Ozzy, AC/DC, Iron Maiden,
everything,
put them up on the wall. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I had a Wasp tapestry from their first record.
Nice, yeah.
I was really, really into the first two releases by Queensryche, the EP and the Warning. Let's see, what else was I listening to? Well, Metallica and Slayer definitely changed everything for me when it came to more extreme stuff. That flipped the script for me in a big way. So, but I want to say the more I got into the extreme stuff, the more I started seeing that the presentation was that we're regular people, not rock stars. So eventually the posters and tapestries and stuff came down, and then I just started looking at my idols as more like, well, they're human just like me.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Well, last question. And this has got to be the hardest question I've ever asked anybody, you know, cause it's always, you know, the standard question I ask. Okay. So you have one song, one artist, or one album that you can go home and listen to, but you cannot tell me or anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul. What is that?
Probably the first Black Sabbath album.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that does something to your soul.
It's Black Sabbath being my favorite album and a band, and the first album, you know, on any given day, I can give you a reason why another one could be my favorite that day, but it always goes back to that first one.
Yeah, yeah. So, Kyle, I do thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you're glad to come back anytime you want to. We can talk about anything else you want to later on. And
fantastic. Yeah, I'd love to come back.
Yeah, and I'll post everything on the bottom, you know, so they can go to your website, you know, and buy all your merchandise and everything. So, yeah.
Awesome. And if you want to invite us to collaborate with you or just share it, we're happy to do any of that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, guy. All right.
Okay. You're very welcome. Thanks for having me, James.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And with that said, everybody remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.